listening to Queest 88.3 FM.
Bobasi Radio Takedown Network.com.
Step into the ring with the warlord chief. Atakula Kula makes you believe. Spirit of a champ, walk with the trees. Heart of a bear, don't you see? Whip that ass, 1, 2, 3. Tonight's a night, your destiny. Your face a beast, prepared to bleed. A hound of war, he's just been freed. So place your boots and wrap your tape. Tie that mask, you can't escape. Get in that ring, accept your fate. The time is now, you cannot wait. The chief is here, it's time for war. He smells your fear, sweat starts to pour. You hear the bell, they cheer and more. He's got that look you can't ignore. From bell to bell, you'll feel the pain. And when he's done, they'll scream his name. The man is hype and so insane. The chief of war, he's cold as rain. When legends come, they never go. Forever rush, they touch the soul. Bow to the chief and then you'll know. The man's not myth, he stole the show.
After Kula Kula, break the back of any fool. I teach you sound technicality to take it to school. Master of the powers of the world. Passions of a warrior is seen and heard. A warrior will torture ya. Those who left the gold and try to get closer, they attain pain. Attempts to gain are in vain. And only from the beating you receive, and not people repeating your name. Cause at the Kula Kula, the ruler, not a true. A red, white, and blue, what you lose, cause he ain't in it to be neutral. You lose, cause he ain't in it to be neutral.
Good Thursday afternoon. This is Chief Atakula Kula, and you are listening to Chatting with the Chief on KWIS 88.3 FM and the Dabashi Radio Takedown Network.com. We are also downloadable on Stitcher and iTunes. This week, I am coming to you from sunny San Juan, Puerto Rico. Well, actually, today is sunny. This is actually Monday, and I'm getting ready to leave the island today. It actually rained most of the weekend that I was here, unfortunately. But I had a great show Saturday night, the HSW 24-year anniversary show. I had a huge match with Mr. Dollar. It was phenomenal. The fan response was incredible. I think it exceeded expectations. Very brutal match. Probably the second best match that I've had on the island in the 6 years that I've been wrestling here now. But I have some very interesting stories from the weekend. So this trip, this show is going to surround my trip in Puerto Rico. I have some funny stories from the trip here, the airport, especially one from my short layover in Fort Lauderdale. I have something that just, it will crack you up because it cracked me up and it was hard to keep a straight face at the time. But I have some funny stories, some irritating stories, and some more great memories that was made on this trip. So we're going to take a break and we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we will be back with more Chatting with Chief from sunny San Juan.
Do you know what's not $9.99 and absolutely free? Dabashi Radio Takedown Network.com.
Okay, we are back here on Chatting with the Chief on KWIS. We always got to remind you of our great call numbers of our station that we are on. We have great appreciation for KWIS for everything they do, for chatting with Chief, and for getting our program out there in the greater Spokane, Washington, and Plummer, Idaho area. Like I said, I am here in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Actually, right now, I'm in an area, kind of a suburban area. It's called Carolina, Puerto Rico. And I stayed this time. I was at this... every place I've stayed has been very nice for the most part, but usually I'm down by the ocean, which I think is where, you know, most people want to be most of the time that come here. But I was up in the mountains near the rainforest this time in a nice little place called the Village Inn Hotel. And I think if more people knew about this place, I mean, it's been there for a long time, obviously, but I think if more people knew about it, they would... a lot more people would stay there because it's you know, you have to have a rental car if you're going to be there, because if you want to get to the ocean and everything, it's a little bit off the beaten path. It's up this two-lane road up in the mountain, but it's a very nice place. I put pictures on my Facebook and stuff, so if any of your fans are on my Facebook, you can check that out. But I had a nice pool and hot tub outdoors there, and just a very quiet place. You can hear the Cokie frogs. I actually should have recorded something from there so you could have heard the last night, so you could have heard the Cokie frogs in the background. The Cokie frogs are a special frog. They're very small, but they make a huge noise. They're like a Cokie, Cokie, Cokie. That's why they're called Cokie frogs, I guess, because they make a sound that sounds like that. But you hear them all night, but they're not annoying. The first time I ever came here, 6 years ago, I called my wife, and I'm like, it's really weird. I said, it's, you know, nighttime here. I called her, I think it was like midnight. I said, it's really weird, but these birds are just making a lot of noise. I thought they were birds. I didn't know they were Cokie frogs making this noise. But it's kind of the music of the island, the sound of the island, they call it. They're the kind of the island mascot, and you can only find Cokie frogs on the island of Puerto Rico. They are nowhere else in the world. So, It's kind of cool. So I've grown accustomed to where I love that noise, and I actually miss it when I'm back in the States. One of the first things that I like when I get off the plane here and leave the airport, I can hear the Cokie frogs. And yesterday I should have recorded when I was down at the pool. It was pretty gloomy and rainy yesterday, but I was actually able to get in the pool for a little while when it wasn't raining, because it was still warm. But the Cokie frogs were making noise. A bunch of different tropical birds were in the palm trees above the pool. They were making noise. It was just some beautiful music, and I actually should have recorded that live so you could hear it. But I'll do that next time, because I will be back to Puerto Rico a couple more times this year, and so I'm sure I'll do another show from here. But it was an interesting trip. I'm heading back to the rental car place now, and then they're going to shuttle me to the airport. I'm going to stop at Babo's Barbecue first. It's right by the rental car place that use when I do rent a car. A lot of times people pick me up from the airport. When I have friends or family with me, I'll rent a car. I didn't this time, but I went ahead and rented one anyway, because I had plans with some different friends to do things outside of the wrestling, so I want to make sure I had a car. Right by the rental car place that I use, there's Payless rental cars, what I use over here. But about a block from it is Babo's Barbecue, which is one of my favorite places to eat. There's lots of barbecue on the island, but it's not like traditional American barbecue. Their barbecue is different. They don't really use everything's cooked in it. They don't really use a barbecue sauce like we do. You don't put sauce on it, but everything's cooked. They cook whole hogs and lots of other things. Chicken. Their chicken is phenomenal. Bonnie and I both love their chicken, but and it's just all cooked fresh. I mean, this place is open 24 hours a day, and you can go there at 4 a.m. on a weeknight, and it will be packed. And it's open air. You know, it's got a overhead roof, but it's open air on the sides, so you're sitting out in the open air. And they have this glass counter, and you just go up there, and they keep bringing food out and bring it in. You just pick whatever food you want for your plate. It's not all you can eat, you know, buffet or anything. You gotta pay for each item, but it's just a great place. Food is phenomenal. One of many places I love eating here on the island. And So I'm going to stop there. I'm going to hit some lunch there, and then the rental car place is like a block away. Drop off the rental car, and hopefully won't have any problem with the airport, because there is a huge strike going on across the island in every city today. The public transportation workers are on strike here over, I think they're going to start making them pay for their health care or something if they want it. So something like that. But I heard about it last night from a friend I had dinner with, that there was going to be this strike today, or parade as they call it. And oftentimes here, they get when that happens, they block roads, and it can get very hard to get around. But of course, transportation workers are taxi drivers and other things, you know. And so, of course, the airport was good. They were going to be blocking the entrance to the airport, these strikers, because, you know, they're trying to make a point across. So I was warned about it last night, and then United Airlines actually sent me a text about it last night, about you might want to get to the airport early because it may take a while to get there. Well, it wouldn't really matter if you left early, because they had the entrance blocked this morning. One of my friends called me that I wrestle with over here, El Gran Bebe, and he said, I don't know if you're going to be able to get into the airport. They have the entrance to the airport blocked, the strikers do. So I checked on Facebook, and there was video of it on there, and then I turned on the news, and of course that's what was going on. So I'm like, well, maybe I'll be staying in Puerto Rico another day. I don't know. But I got a hold of the rental car place a little while ago, because I don't leave till 2:30. It's Monday right now, and it's here on the island right now. It is 10:15, and I don't leave till 10:30. So I called the rental car place. They answered. I'm like, is your shuttle going to be able to get me into the airport, because I heard the airport's closed? And they said no. They said that it was, you know, blocked off this morning, but I guess they brought in some security force, and they removed the protesters from at least so the rental car shuttles and different things can get in there. So it sounds like I'm going to be able to get into the airport, or they'll be able to get me into the airport anyway. They told me they could, so hopefully that is true. But yeah, the day started off bad, because I wondered if I was going to be able to get into the airport. I had that this morning. And then my toilet in the hotel room got plugged up and started overflowing, and there's no plunger in the room. So I was dealing with that. And so things started off looking like it wasn't going to be too good of a day, but it got better. Things have gotten better now, so hopefully I will get some lunch here and get this car back and be able to get to the airport. I'm going to record more from the airport, so you'll hear my story. You'll find out what's going on, but hopefully everything goes okay. It's gonna be interesting, that's for sure. But I have some stories. I'm going to take a little break here because I'm near where I'm going. So I'm going to try to grab some lunch. I'm going to take a little break here, and then I will get back to you shortly with some very funny things and some frustrating things that happened to me on my trip here. One of the frustrating things that happened right now, because I wasn't able to go to the beach with my friends yesterday because, you know, it rained. We had big plans. Show went well Saturday night, but there was rain here yesterday. And, of course, today it's sunny and very nice, and I'm leaving. But I will be back shortly with some funny stories for you.
Hey, fans, this is Al Farrat Santos of the Grammy-nominated Otter Trail Singers and of IWR, asking you to continue to listen in to Dobashi Radio Takedown Network.com. Love it, brother.
Huss! Huss! Huss!
Welcome back. As I said earlier, I was going to go over some frustrating things and some funny things from my trip. I think when I last left you, I was getting ready to eat at Babo's Barbecue and drop the rental car off. And I did that, and I actually got into the airport. The situation here was interesting today because there were protesters. The cab drivers and they're all owned by the government, the cab company here is, and the and the buses and all that. So all the public transportation workers were on strike today, and they were blocking the entrance to the airport, and they were blocking several roads, different places too, and they actually, in some instances, had to use tear gas to get them cleared out. But the rental car place was able to get me shuttled into the airport, and I made my flight back to Chicago. And so that's been my day since I talked to you earlier this morning. And now I am in my van and I am driving home to Iowa. I have a 4-hour drive ahead of me. So like I said, it's been a really interesting trip this time to Puerto Rico. It started out kind of frustrating. I mean, everything was going pretty smooth. I drove over to Chicago on Friday evening and stayed with my friend, the Wild Man Beast, at his place. And then he drove me to the airport. I think we got up at like 3:30 in the morning. I think I went to bed at like midnight. We got like 3.5 hours of sleep, then got up at 3:30. And he had to get me to the airport because I had a 7 o'clock flight to Puerto Rico. And so I got there with very little sleep, got there in the afternoon, got my rental car, got over to the hotel, checked in, and then just kind of hung out for about an hour or so, and then I had to head over to the venue for the big show Saturday night. By the time I got back to the hotel Saturday night, it was 2 o'clock in the morning Puerto Rican time, so I had been up over 24 hours. I think I got to bed at 3:30, so I've been up well over 24 hours at that period by Sunday morning. But great show, like I said earlier, and the trip has been interesting. Like I said, when I got onto the plane, I always sit at the back of the plane. I always sort of make sure my seat's at the back of the plane and an aisle seat because I'm a big guy, so I can't sit in the middle. I can, you know, I can wedge myself between the in that window seat, but it's pretty cramped. So I usually always make sure I have an aisle seat, and I like to be at the back of the plane. So I don't, you know, which it doesn't really matter. I guess it doesn't matter too much where you sit in a plane. People are going to be going back and forth. I mean, sitting in the back, I'm right there by the bathroom, which I hardly ever use a bathroom on a plane. But I'm right there by the restroom, and of course you got people going by all the time. But I kind of just, I don't know why I've always sat in the back of the plane, last row, aisle seat, usually with my right side to the aisle the majority of the time. Don't ask me why, that's just how I've always been. Kind of a strange little quirky thing of mine, I guess. But apparently the person sitting in front of me, the guy sitting in front of me on this flight, I don't know if he hadn't flown before or he's just an inconsiderate idiot or what the deal was. But first of all, I guess to preface this story, I don't understand the problem with carry-ons on a plane. They always run out of overhead space. And they all, you know, they always make an announcement before you get on. Oh, this is a full flight, and we're going to run out of overhead space. You know, anybody who could, you know, please volunteer to check your carry-on luggage. We'll do it for free here at the gate, and you can get it at your final destination. Well, first of all, as a professional wrestler, we're taught early on, never check your gear bag. Because if something goes wrong, you always carry on your gear, because if you land and your wrestling gear doesn't get there, then it doesn't really do you much good, does it? And see, I was flying on Saturday morning to wrestle on the show on Saturday night, so if my gear didn't get there, then I was pretty much screwed. You know, so I never checked my gear, and I actually only took one carry-on bag on this flight. And it's regulation, so it'll fit, you know, in the bin and everything. It's a regulation carry-on bag. And I was actually got all my gear in there, and since it's Puerto Rico, all I took with me were shorts and like tank tops, t-shirts. So it was very easy to get everything into my gear bag. So I only had one bag on this trip and one carry-on. So, but the thing is, I don't understand about checking the bags. If they would only allow people to carry on one carry-on, they're like it's supposed to. You can have one carry-on and you can have one smaller bag that goes under the seat in front of you. There's a space. You're going to lose some of your leg room, but it can go under, you know, the seat in front of you. So, but I don't understand. There is one space for every seat on that plane. So if everybody takes one carry-on bag on like they're supposed to and puts it above, and if they have a smaller bag they put under their seat, they would never run out of carry-on space. But you always see people bringing on bags that are too large, for one thing. And, you know, 5 years ago, the airlines weren't letting them do this. I'd see them stop them at the gate and say, no, you need to check that. You need to check that at the gate. It's too big, you know. But now they just seem to let them on, and they'll let them on with two or three bags. But so back to my story. So this guy in front of me, I don't know if he's never flown or what. I think he's just inconsiderate and wants to take off my space. But what he does is he has like three small bags. I don't know if he put anything in the overhead. I didn't pay attention. But he has three small bags. And he puts them on the floor in front of him, but then he pushes them back instead of putting them in front of him under the seat like you're supposed to. And they announce that when you're on the plane. It doesn't go under the seat. It goes, you know, that you're on. It goes under the seat in front of you. Because then that way, if you, you know, it takes up your foot space, not somebody else's. Well, he shoved his bags backwards under the seat because, you know, he wanted to put his feet over them. And so he shoved them into my feet space. He put them under his seat instead of under the seat in front of him. Well, I went to stretch out my legs. These bags are there. So, you know, I'm like, this is my space. So I just pushed his bags forward with my feet. And, of course, they pushed into the back of his legs. Then you see him over the seat. He's all looking around, looking down, like, oh, what's going on here, you know? And so a few minutes later, I feel him pushing the bags back into my feet. So I just braced my feet. I'm like, no, no, you're not pushing your bags into my space because I'm a big guy. And even with my legs stretched out with all the leg room that's allotted me under that seat, it's still not comfortable for me. So I'm like, you're not taking my space. So I just brace my feet and he's trying to push these bags and my feet ain't going nowhere. You know, this guy's probably 135 pounds. You know, I'm 340 now and I got some monster legs. There's one thing, I got some tree trunk legs on me and I just locked those legs. I held my feet in place and he wasn't pushing that stuff up underneath my seat. So he's looking around. You can tell he's all like frustrated, but there's nothing under his seat. And he's not a big guy, but he wants to have that leg room. So he wants to take my leg room, you know? It's just inconsiderate. And he shouldn't have had three bags on the floor in front of him anyway. You're not even allowed to carry that many on. You can have one carry-on and then one smaller personal item. So a little while later into the flight, I get up and go to the restroom. And I come back to sit down. And lo and behold, in the time I was in the restroom, he shoved his bags back under the seat into my space. So I sat down this time, and I wasn't even nice about it. I just slammed my feet forward and pushed his stuff out from underneath my seat right up into the back of his legs. And he starts looking around all frantically. Turned around, looked and saw the size of the guy in the seat behind him, me. And I think he was getting ready to say something, and he thought, well, maybe he shouldn't. Maybe just keep his mouth shut, which was probably a good idea at this place because, I'm pretty frustrated myself at this point. And when I was younger, I had a pretty short fuse. I'm pretty calm and can be pretty reasonable now as I've gotten older. But, you know, you push me far enough and you see that old younger chief come back out where I can have a pretty short fuse again. But so I'm thinking, okay, well, this flight is actually going to land in Fort Lauderdale. And we have an hour and 5 minute layover there, but then I'm getting back on the same plane because it's continuing on to San Juan. And so sometimes I'll let you stay on the plane if there's a layover, but this time they told us they wanted us all to deboard so they could clean the plane and everything. And I'm like, well, at least, you know, we'll get off in San Juan. We'll get off in Fort Lauderdale, and most of these people are probably staying in Fort Lauderdale. There's probably only a few of us that are going on to San Juan, and then they'll load people on and Fort Lauderdale that are going from Fort Lauderdale to San Juan. So I'm like, this guy's probably getting off Fort Lauderdale because he wasn't Puerto Rican. So I'm like, assuming he's probably just getting off Fort Lauderdale and I won't have to deal with him for the second leg of my flight. So if you're going all the way to San Juan, then when you get back on, you're going to have the same seat. And usually they let you, if you're going all the way, you know, if you're going to continue on, if you're staying on the same flight, they usually let you leave your luggage. But they had us take our luggage and everything off this plane. Kind of unusual. So I get off the plane. I'm like, I'll go grab something, light snack real quick, something to drink. Well, you know, on this little layover, use the restroom, right? So then they start loading again. I get back on the plane and sit down, and then lo and behold, Mr. Inconsiderate ends up in a seat right back in front of me again. And see, he was going on to San Juan, but when he came down the aisle and got ready to get in his seat, he looked and he saw that it was the same big guy sitting behind him. And there were no problems on this last leg of the flight because I think he pretty much figured, you know, I better just keep my stuff in my own space because this guy's going to kick it right back up into my space if I don't. So the rest of that flight was uneventful. But the funny part of this story is on the short layover that we had. Like I said earlier, almost every flight, you know, if the flight's full, they'll tell you, you know, before they board, hey, we got a full flight today. We're going to run out of overhead space. We'd appreciate if some people could help us and we could have some people, you know, check their bags for free here. We'll put them under the plane and you can get them at the baggage claim. You know, they're always looking for some help if the flight's full. So when we're on this layover in Fort Lauderdale, after I grabbed some stuff to drink and eat there, I'm sitting at this little area where you can charge your cell phones and your laptops or whatever. You know, you can charge, you know, you can recharge everything. I'm sure those of you who've flown know what I'm talking about. The, you know, people that haven't flown, though, I thought I'd, you know, kind of paint a picture. But they have a little area where you wait to get on the plane, and some of the airports have these little stations with a whole bunch of bankmen of chargers you can sit at. You can charge your phone. So I'm sitting there charging my phone, and a lot of times it's hard to get on these because people always want to charge their phone, so they're usually full, but this one actually had a couple spaces open on it. So I sat down on a little stool, and I plugged my phone in, and there's people on either side of me, and then there's this girl that's probably, I don't know, early 20, I'm guessing between 18 and 24 sitting across from me, you know. Pretty girl and everything, but I don't know if she had too much going on upstairs, if you know what I mean. Because she's on the phone with her friend, and she's just laughing and giggling. And, I mean, she seemed like a happy-go-lucky person. She was, like, smiling and laughing and giggling, real, you know, over every little thing the whole time she's talking. Well, they finally made an announcement that our flight going from Fort Lauderdale to San Juan, they're, like, announcing over the loudspeaker. They're like, this flight's a full flight. We're probably going to run out of overhead space. So we want to know if there's seven passengers that could help us out with the carry-on bags because we're going to run out of space. And this girl across from me goes to her friend she's talking to on the phone. She goes, oh my God. She goes, you're not going to believe this. This must be some chintzy airline because they just asked for seven passengers to help carry on bags for them. She goes, they don't have people to carry on bags themselves. So she thought that they were actually asking for passengers to help load bags onto the plane. I'm like, oh my God, I could not believe this. And the guy next to me, I look at him and he looks at me and he just shakes his head and smiles. So then I sit there for the next 10 minutes. I got my wife on the phone and I want to tell her about this, but this girl's like 2 feet from my face straight across from me. So I can't tell my wife this story. I'm just trying not to bust up laughing. And I just so bad, I want to tell my wife this story, but I'm like, this is gonna have to wait until I get home because this girl is sitting right in front of me. Although I probably could have told it right in front of her and she wouldn't even have known I was talking about her. But then she proceeds for the next 10 minutes to go on to her friend on the phone. She goes, I just can't believe that they want passengers to help load the luggage. She goes, I just can't believe that the airline doesn't have people that do that. I mean, it was unreal. And all my years of traveling, and you know, I travel a lot wrestling, you know, driving and flying, but in all my years of flying, and I don't know how many times, sometimes I'll fly 2-3 times a month. I don't know how many times a year I fly, but that is the funniest thing that I've ever heard at the airport. It was unreal. And, the amazing thing was this girl was going to Puerto Rico. She wasn't Puerto Rican. I don't think she spoke Spanish, and she was by herself. So I hope she had some friends when she got there because, you know, if you don't know the language, it can be a little tough down there. And if you're not even, you know, if you're a little bit ditzy like she seemed to be or a little bit, you know, I don't know. But she just, I don't know, she seemed like she was a college girl, but a ditzy college girl. She was that stereotypical, she wasn't blonde, but she was, no offense to the blondes out there, but she was that stereotypical kind of, you know, attractive but ditzy girl that you see in movies. And so I don't know. But that was the funny portion of my trip, and a little bit of the frustrating portion. And then, of course, like I said, I was a little worried that morning when I got up to go home. This was this morning. My friend I had dinner with last night, she told me that there was going to be this strike tomorrow. And then when I got up, I had messages from a couple of the wrestlers saying that, you know, you might have trouble at the airport. Let us know if you don't make it home. You might not be looking in the airport. Turn on your TV. So I turned on my TV, and boom, it's on the news. There are, you know, thousands of people blocking the entrance into the airport. But they were able to get that all cleared out, and I took my rental car back, and they shuttled us over to the airport, and we got in there with very, very little incident. There were protesters, but we got through, and the police had made a path for us. I think they actually had tear gas, used some tear gas at the airport too, or some sort of smoke bomb there, but they got the path cleared, and we were able to get in there. Got back to Chicago with a nonstop flight on United. Nobody drugged me down the aisle. Everything went well there. They didn't try to force me to give up my seat for any of the airline employees, although for the $10,000 that they're offering now, you can believe I would have. But so I made the flight home uneventful. Much more cramped seats on United than there is on JetBlue. JetBlue has so much leg room on theirs, it's so much better. United just cramped, and I heard that American Airlines now, I heard, is going to make their leg room smaller, put their seats closer together, which I think is a terrible idea, because I think people are getting taller and bigger throughout the decades, and that's, I don't know, and they want to force us all even closer together, I guess, on these planes. But I got back to Chicago without incident, and my good friend, the Wild Man Beast, picked me up at the airport. Went back to his place, dropped him off, and I'm now proceeding to drive back to Iowa in my good old Chrysler minivan. That's right, the Chief, the big, bad, mean Chief, does all this hardcore stuff and everything else, is basically a soccer mom. I'm driving a minivan, except for all my kids that are grown up. None of them live at home anymore. But I use this minivan to... A lot of times when I travel, I'll have, across the United States, sometimes I'll have three or four wrestlers with me. Especially when I go to Detroit or Ohio, I always have the Wild Man Beast, maybe three or four other wrestlers with me. Up to Minnesota, like I will this weekend, I think there's going to be five of us in this minivan. So it works out well. Seven passenger van, well, I guess including the driver. And I've had seven in here several times, so it's come in handy where we can all just kind of carpool to a lot of these shows. But, I'm going to let you hear from our sponsors one more time, and then we will be back shortly, and we will wrap up this special Chatting with the Chief episode that I kind of took you all with me over to Puerto Rico on my trip with me. So I hope you enjoyed hearing a little bit of what one of my weekends can be like. I will be returning to HSW in Puerto Rico in September, September 23rd, for Night of Veterans. It's a night of, they always have a bunch of veteran wrestlers, longtime wrestlers on the show, and sometimes they'll put some of the veterans against younger guys, sometimes they'll put some of the veterans against other veterans, but it's always a big show, and this will be my third year on Night of Veterans, so I'm looking forward to that. But like I said, we're going to take a short break, and then we will come back shortly, and we will wrap this up and maybe hit some music. I know I use this song a lot, but we're going to listen to some Knothead, and it will probably be Every Day is a Good Day, because that's an upbeat song, and I like to keep this show upbeat. But we will be back shortly and wrap this thing up.
RadioTakedownNetwork.com.
This song is dedicated to the joy and beauty of living the gift that is life. Knothead, Endgame. Nuvo the one on the hook, Robert Keys on the beat. This song song is also dedicated to and inspired by Papa Dan Hill. As Papa Dan would say, every day is a good day. Son and my wife, thankful every morning that they wake up by my side. Every day is a good day when you wake up alive. How can it not be when we live in such a beautiful world, with all the beautiful music and the beautiful girls and all the beautiful children? Eyes are shining like pearls, their true innocent wisdom, how it brightens the world. I used to keep it negative, could never see how great it is, not even with good fortune and some minor fame still hated it. Got fed up with the negative, no longer was I taking it. Found the brighter side of life and got busy embracing it. Time no longer wasting it, man, I can't afford that. Papa Dan would tell me each day is more precious than the last, so every day is a good day, it's as simple as that. If we all loved our fellow man, I bet we'd fix our problems fast,
shining on my fallen grind. I'm on is never done. Work just keeps on piling up, but your boy gon' never run from what I gotta do to get this music to everyone. Flowers blooming, ain't no congestion up in my sinuses. Bass is booming, that's my safety blanket like Linus's. Forward moving, never stopping like a rhinoceros. Positivity up in here, we ain't rocking no minuses. We all gotta wake up, so bumps a PE head. And I ain't gonna stop until you see me dead. Fam, the only thing that matters, gotta see we fed. Every day is a good day, cause that's what PD said.
Expel it from my lungs, and I just gotta thank God again. I got a lot of kin, I've been blessed more than a lot of men. Not a minute's guaranteed, not a breath, not a friend. Only death and taxes, so relax, let's get up on it then. Papa's song is on again, the phonics, we up on it when that key speed drops. We rip it so ridiculous, it comes out in July, and all the kids wish it for Christmas. Witness everything that happens in this crazy new reality. If I could speak in generalities, I think we now can see to have a safe place to sleep with clothes on your back is a luxury that many in this world do not have. So what we do not have is a minute to waste. Forget about the past until you finish the race. Before the end game, do not head for the cliff. Cause every day's a good day, let's break bread, new go get it.
That was Knothead with Every Day is a Good Day. That song always makes me feel good. So before we close out the show this week, I just want to talk to you about our social media, as always. Got to keep plugging all those social media pages. First of all, you can find me on Facebook, two different places. You can find my Chief Atakulakula fan page. It's just Chief Atakulakula. I can have unlimited number of followers on that page. And then there's also my private page, Rod Atakulakula. That's Attakulakula. And right now, I have exactly 39 open spaces because you can only have 5,000 friends on your personal page. And I have 39 openings for friends left. And then I will be at 5,000 unless I eliminate some again. You know, every year or so, I'll usually go through and I'll clean up people that I'm not really that active with, and maybe people from areas that I don't wrestle in anymore, haven't wrestled in for a long time. But so I try to always open it back up because I've hit 5,000 a couple times, and then I clean it up a little bit and make room for new people. But it is almost at 5,000, so if you want to friend me on my personal page, you better do that quickly, because I think probably within this next week, it'll be at 5,000 friends again. And like I said, I'll clean it out down the road here, but probably I just cleaned it out, I think, in January. So I probably won't clean it out till middle or end of the year. So as soon as those spaces fill up, it's probably going to be full for a while. So like I said, I got my fan page, which is Chief Atakulakula. Unlimited people can follow me on that. But my personal page, which you can be more a little more interactive with me on, and I update every day, it's Rod Atakulakula. And then you can also follow me on Twitter, which is, my Twitter handle is @thechiefatta, all lowercase, @@symbol, @thechiefatta. That's @@symbol, @thechiefatta, @thechiefatta. So that's my Twitter handle. I've been trying to use Twitter a lot more. I've been much more active on it lately. I've been starting to get a lot of followers on Twitter. So please follow me there. And more than likely, I will follow you back. And I also do, I don't really use this. I have some of the other social media like Snapchat and all that, but I don't really, you can find me on there, but I don't really use that stuff that much. My main things are my two Facebook pages and Twitter. So I'd appreciate it if you would follow me at those places for everything Chief Atakulakula. And I appreciate everybody listening to us on this show each and every week. I hope you continue to listen to us. But as I've been saying the last few weeks, we had to run repeat episodes because I had some personal issues going on. But as I was saying the previous weeks before that, I'm so used to performing in a live atmosphere, you know, as a professional wrestler, I'm in front of a live audience and I get immediate feedback. And that's what I've been doing for 31 years now. This radio is new to me in terms of being a radio performer. I don't get the immediate feedback, so it makes me feel a little bit insecure. That's probably strange for you to hear me say, but I'm not getting that immediate feedback, so I don't know if you like what I'm doing or dislike what I'm doing, if I need to change things, or if I need to just quit doing it altogether. But I wish you would send me messages on my Facebook pages, send me messages on my Twitter, or comment on my Twitter, and let me know if you are listening, and if you like what you hear, what you'd like to hear differently, you know, what changes you'd like me to make in the show, what you'd like to have me keep. I don't know if you want more music, less music, more talking, less talking. I mean, it's just whatever you want to hear. I plan on bringing you more interviews in the future. I don't know if you enjoyed the interviews, but that's why I need feedback on all of this. And then if you do enjoy the interviews, maybe you want to give me suggestions for guests that are, you know, not currently signed to WWE, because we cannot use any currently signed WWE talent. But previous talents or independent talents, even some actors, TV and movie actors I have access to. So we're going to be bringing more of those people on soon. But if you would just give me some sort of feedback on what you like, what you don't like, and what you would like to hear, it would certainly help me figure out what to do on future shows, plus whether even to continue on with this show. Like I said, I'm used to immediate response from a live crowd, and I really hope that people are listening to this show, but I really don't have any indicators to tell if anybody's listening or how many people are listening. So I wish there was, I did have some feedback, because, you know, obviously it takes a lot of time each week. I have a very tight schedule and I always have to work in time to record the show. And especially if I'm going to do interviews, I got to coordinate my schedule with the person that I'm interviewing's schedule. And then there's all kinds of post-production due on this show in terms of editing, putting in the music, putting things together for it. So this is actually a very time-consuming thing for me to do. And if nobody is listening or is interested in, hearing what I have to say or the things I am talking about on here, then I certainly don't want to waste the listener's time or my time with it, or the radio station's time when they could ask somebody on that maybe you would more prefer listening to. So, like I said, any type of feedback you can send me on any of my pages, Facebook, Twitter, even contact the radio station or the Facebook page of the radio station, KWIS 88.3 FM, and just somehow drop us some feedback and let us know what you think of the show. Next week, I should have a guest. I'm trying to decide. I have a few different guests lined up. Some from the wrestling world, some just from the entertainment, from the independent film world. I have, like I said, several people lined up for interviews. I got to try to coordinate time because, of course, I'll be leaving town again this weekend to wrestle up in Minnesota. And lately, it's been really difficult for me to even make time for my family. I just got back, you know, as you know, from Puerto Rico. And before that, you know, I was working quite a bit on the stuff that I do. I'm self-employed in everything I do. I'm an independent contractor, so I'm always busy with different projects. And really, in the last couple of weeks, I haven't even hardly spent any time with my wife. My wife works in the evenings. I work mostly during the day, but then I have other commitments I have to take care of in the early evening. I usually try to hit the gym a few times a week. I got to record this radio show. My mother is elderly, and I am her power of attorney, so I'm in charge of taking care of her. So I usually go there after work. So I have a lot of different things that I'm doing. My life is, like, very, very busy. And so with my wife, we're going to work at 3 in the afternoon and me leaving at about 6:45 in the morning and oftentimes not getting home until 8 or 9 o'clock at night. We just don't get a lot of time these days to see each other. A lot of times I see her for maybe a half an hour in the morning before I leave, and then I'll stay up until she gets home about 10:30 at night, and we'll visit for half an hour, an hour. Sometimes she's so tired, she comes right in and goes straight to bed. And so I don't get a chance to spend time with her in the evening. So it's like I said, I have a very tight schedule, as I'm sure many of you do out there. Everybody works so much these days. You know, a lot of times you have to work more than one job to make ends meet. And since I'm self-employed with a few different things, I actually have a, you know, with wrestling and the other two or three things I do, I have, you know, you might as well say the equivalent of probably 3 jobs and maybe more, because a lot of times my wrestling on the weekend, I spend so much time traveling. I might spend 8 hours driving somewhere to wrestle, stay overnight, get up the next morning and spend another 8, 9, 10 hours driving home. So basically, for the most part, most weeks I'm basically working 7 days a week. And I'm not complaining about that at all. It's just, I'm just saying, I'm so time pressed. And like I said, this show takes up not as much time as everything else I do, but it does take up a bit of time and it's hard to work it in sometimes. So I would appreciate any kind of feedback so I know that this has been a worthwhile project. I do enjoy doing it. I wish I actually had more time to connect with other people for interviews and, you know, to give you a better show, but I try to give you the best product I can every week with the limited time frame that I have to work with. But we are going to wrap this thing up right now. And like I said, I'm going to throw those handles out there one more time. Chief Atakula Kula on Facebook, or Rod Atakula Kula for my private page, and at the Chief Atta for Twitter. We're going to give you one more song selection here. And then right after that, we're going to go right into my old theme music that my oldest son Dusty recorded for me that I did used to use for probably 6 or 7 years, but I haven't used in the last couple of years since I've had my new music made by Sick Vicious and Spokane's Illust. But we're going to give you one more song selection here, and then we're going to go right into my old intro music. And we will see you next week on Chatting with the Chief. Oh,
Oh! ain't nobody gonna take it. It's a warrior's battleground, waging war from town to town. Cause here's the madman chief, chop your neck like beef. Breaking bones and scalp of foes, dream catcher slams the final blow. Grip your neck and submission hold, soon I'll be gripping gold. 2-on-1, what you got? Put you in a double leg lock. Mighty I stand, it's like a tower, it's my fans that give me power. Fighting's all that I have left, will submit to my final breath.
Sporting pink boots and a mohawk, blows and stomp heads in a trash talk. In the ring or outside, it don't matter. Chair to your face will make your blood splatter. Put you in submission till you're giving up. The chief is on a mission, you're nothing but a punk. He'll pin you in the ring for the 1, 2, 3, cause that's what you get when you mess with the chief.
Destroy your mind when I enter the ring, cause my clotheslines are like the real thing. Whether in the ring or on the street, either way you're gonna meet your own defeat. And piss me off and then you feel the rage. Powerbomb you right through the stage. Break your neck and then I break your spine, cause then that belt will soon be mine.
Dolbasi Radio Takedown Network.com.